Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Hebrew Bible, Genesis 15, verses 1 through 18, can be found on page 11 of your Hebrew Bible. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down to the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there, and they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. On this day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt, the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you'll turn in your hymnals Psalm 27 on page 758 and 759 for the responsive reading. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall be I afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in the Lord's temple. The Lord will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. What can see me under the cover of his tent? And will set me high upon a rock. And on my head shall be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer sacrifices in the Lord's tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart said, seek the Lord's face. Your face, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother should forsake me, the Lord would take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Thanks, Bill. I got to salute Bill Mitchell. He's a very intrepid liturgist. The lectionary actually stops at the Euphrates River and doesn't go to all of the Gergesites and Jebusites because they believe that normal human beings cannot pronounce those names. But Bill did an admirable job, so thanks, Bill. Let's turn now to the epistle, the letter of Paul to the church at Philippi, Philippians 3:17 through 4:1. You can find that on page 187 in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible. Or if you brought your own, I would hope that you can find that in Philippians. Hear these words. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we have been expecting, we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. You can find that passage on page 72 in the New Testament part of your Pew Bible. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, if you're paying even a little attention to the national news beyond the sequestration, then you've probably heard stories about the President and Congress debating immigration reform. And if you are hearing those stories, you'll recognize that it's widely believed that there are something like 11 million immigrants living in this country without proper legal documentation. Now, clearly, this is a serious and complicated issue, one that deserves your attention, your study, your prayer. And one of the big questions with this issue is whether and how and when these resident immigrants might become U.S. citizens. The Bible has quite a lot to say about citizens and immigrants. In the language of the Hebrew Bible, in fact, you heard it today, immigrant people are known as aliens, people who have come from somewhere else before settling here. At so many points throughout salvation history, the people chosen by God have found themselves to be aliens in strange lands. Now, here is one of literally hundreds of passages from the Bible that speak about how alien people are to be treated. This from Leviticus. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:33-34. Well, for the vast majority of Americans, including most of us here today, our family history can be easily traced back to a time when our forefathers and foremothers immigrated to this country from somewhere else. Back then, just like now, people come to the United States in an effort to find a better life, to support their families, to provide a better lifestyle for their children. Well, except for Native Hawaiians, Native Alaskans, and Native Americans, the Aboriginal peoples of North America, except for those folks, we are a country of immigrants. We are mostly aliens ourselves. For my own part, my family comes from England and Wales and Germany. My mom was born in Germany before coming to this country. And within the United Methodist Church right here in Denver, I know citizens of Tonga, of Ghana, Mexico, Canada, Pakistan, South Korea, Vietnam, and Japan, just to name a few. My point today is not to debate immigration reform, something that we can and should do as Christian people. But rather, my point is to challenge you to think about your own citizenship. Paul's explanation to the people of the churches in Philippi ought to get you thinking. But our citizenship is in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago, that Lent is a journey that each of us must walk alone? Lent is, by definition, a solo enterprise. And in these shorter Lenten sermons, I will pose more questions than I would do regularly, to challenge you to think and consider and ponder and pray alone. What does it mean for you to be a citizen of heaven? A citizen of the kingdom of God? Well, citizenship has a lot to do with personal identity. Where do you put your ultimate allegiance? That is, to whom do you answer? From whom or what do you take direction? Remember what Paul said in his letter to the Roman church? If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you take that confession seriously? That Jesus is Lord? Citizenship has to do with language and culture. Do you know and speak and understand the language of God's Word, the Holy Bible? Do you participate fully in the culture of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, as you will profess this morning in the Nicene Creed? The amazing writer and theologian Frederick Buechner speaks about being a resident alien on planet Earth. He believes, as do so many of us, that to live on Earth is to feel like a stranger in a strange land, not yet home. Let me share with you a quote from Frederick Buechner that touches me deeply. "If only we had eyes to see and ears to hear and wits to understand, we would know that the kingdom of God, in the sense of holiness, goodness, beauty, is as close as breathing. It is crying out to be born both within ourselves and within the world. We would know that the kingdom of God is what we all of us hunger for above all other things, even when we don't know its name or realize that it's what we're starving to death for. The kingdom of God is where our best dreams come from and our truest prayers. We glimpse it at those moments when we find ourselves being better than we are and wiser than we know. We catch sight of it when at some moment of crisis, a strength seems to come to us that is greater than our own strength. The kingdom of God is where we belong. It is home. And whether we realize it or not, I think we are, all of us, homesick for it." My sisters and brothers, what does it mean for you to be a citizen of heaven? Amen.